All right, we got a packed house today. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here today, getting up this morning, settling in. It is an honor to be here with you guys this morning. So let me just reintroduce myself for those that don't know me. You guys can hear me, right?
Yes.
I have a loud voice, so I want to make sure you, everyone hears me this morning. I'm going to be speaking in Spanish too, so
okay.
Is that okay? Okay. I'll translate, don't worry. All right. So let me reintroduce myself. My name is Gerardo Diaz. Some of you guys know me as Gerardo. The gringos call me as Gerardo. I'm also known as G. There you go. G. My beautiful wife, Nayla Diaz, is right in front. We have two beautiful boys, my son Joshua and Isaiah Diaz. They were at the retreat last time. One is 30, one is 26, one is a disciple, one is not a disciple yet.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to make sure we keep our sons and daughters in prayers, right? Okay. So this is a topic I wanted to talk about, very passionate about, I'm learning about. This is more about a study that I've been doing. You know, I'm listening to different messages from a brother named Robert Carrillo. I don't know if you guys know him. He's an elder in the church in Los Angeles, California. And, you know, it's a lot that I'm learning from that. And some of the stuff that I'm sharing is part of that. So the study we're going to get into this morning, I'm going to put my timer here because I will be here for a long time. But I'm going to keep it on time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So most of us have seen, I was watching on TV, there was a protest going on. It was like the No Kings protest, right? And I'm sure you guys seen it on YouTube or whatever, right? Okay. So I was talking to my wife the other day. I was like, honey, why do you think people don't like kings? What's going on? She was like, well, I think it's people don't like to be told what to do. I was like, oh. I'm sure there's many reasons why people don't like kings, right? I'm sure that's one of them, right? We don't, as human beings, we don't really like to be told what to do, right? I mean, that's just in our nature, right? It's like, don't tell me what to do. You know, who you think you is, right? But I wanted to talk about a different type of king and a different type of kingdom. I want to talk about God's kingdom. Okay, whatever's going on in the outside, you know, that's what the world is going through right now. You know, different challenges in this world, right? Wars going on everywhere. You know, the stuff going on even in the United States, right? And we know a lot about what democracy is, right? We vote here in this country. We vote our presidents. We vote for different leaders, right? We don't really know what it is to be in the kingdom. You know, I for myself, I don't know what it is to be part of a kingdom, right? To have a king as a leader. So this study for me was really interesting because I was like, wow, that's what a king is about. So first I want to share a scripture, but before that, I want us to pray to make sure that God is with us and that he's speaking through me. Amen. So let us pray. Good morning, Father. Thank you so much for this time you've given us just to be here today. Thank you, one, for everyone being here. Mm-hmm. I pray that your word penetrates the hearts of everyone here, Father. Mm-hmm. I pray that you be with me, Father. And I pray, God, that we continue to be in love with you, Father, that you are precious and you are our King. God, we love you, Father. We thank you, Son Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at, I want to start off with the Old Testament. Let's go into Isaiah 9, and we're going to read verse 6 and 7, all right? So let's read that real quick, so how much time here. So it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Amen.
You know, this scripture is so amazing. You know, when I was reading this, I was looking at different things, and I noticed that it talks about a government. And the government it's talking about is not the government we think of. It's not a worldly government. He's talking about God's kingdom,
Amen.
Right? He's talking about a spiritual kingdom, right? It's talking about Jesus, that baby that he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus being born, and he will be the one that is going to reign his kingdom. He's going to be the one in charge of his kingdom. Amen? It talks about how in this kingdom that God is going to bring is a kingdom that is going to bring eternal peace. It says peace, there will be no end. That means this constantly is going to be a peace, a kingdom of peace. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but also this kingdom is going to bring justice. You know, you guys seen the news, right? There's a lot of protests going on. People feel like there's no justice, right? It talks about this kingdom being righteous. You know, when it talks about this kingdom, it's talking about just a kingdom that is fair, right? Mm-hmm. That is just. Isn't that something that we desire?
Yeah.
You know, most of us have jobs, right? You go to work 40 hours, 50 hours, whatever it is, and you want to get paid right. You want to be, you know, imagine if you go to work for a week or two, 3 weeks, whatever, and you don't get paid, right? Well, how will you feel, right? It was like, this ain't right. They got to pay me. I work hard for this money, right? You know, we all desire righteousness, all desire to be just. Amen. Well, this is the kingdom that God is talking about here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's move on. I'll share another scripture with you. We're moving quickly here. So now we're fast forward, okay? With fast forwarding now, as Isaiah's dead and all of that, so we fast forward. Years gone by, okay? All right. Matthew 3, 1 through 3. Let's read that. All right, what it says there, Matthew 3, 1 through 3. So you guys can read that home if you want. I'm going to read this for you. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Here it is, this kingdom thing, right? This is he who has spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. So here we'll see here how John the Baptist, right? His cousin, Jesus' cousin, he's over here preaching about this repentance, right? Most of us have learned what the repentance is, right? A lot of us know that it's called in Greek is metanoia, right? Another word I like is in Spanish. You know, Spanish got some good words. Okay? Dice, volver a Dios, regresar a Dios, you know, come to God, turn to God. Mm. You know, when I was learning, studying the Bible a long time ago, you know, a brother was saying to me, like, you know, when you walk in one way, right, you make it 180 degree turn and you go the other direction. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where repentance is, right? We're sinning, right? We're giving into our desires. We're seeking what the world is giving us, right? And repentance is just turning around and going the different direction. We're seeking God.
Yeah.
We're obeying his word, right?
Yeah.
And that's what John the Baptist is talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John the Baptist is preaching about this kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Now let's read another scripture. We're here to study the Bible, right?
Amen.
So Let's read on Matthew 4. I'm just going to read, you guys can read 12 through 7, but I'm going to pick up here where it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach. What did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven has come near. Okay, so now here's Jesus, right? And now he's preaching about repentance, and he's talking about this kingdom, right? This kingdom here, to give you a little background on what the king is, you know, when the king spoke, his word became law. You know, the citizens that heard whatever the king said, they had to be obedient to that, you know. So here is Jesus talking about this kingdom, right? Let's look at another scripture here. You guys with me here? Okay. All right. That's what I'm talking about. That's, I need some encouragement here. All right. Matthew 13. Let's look at verse 44 through 46. 44 through 46. This is what it says. I'm going to read it for you. You guys can, you know, follow. The kingdom of heaven. Now, when it talks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God is the same thing. All right? So the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had. And he bought that field. When he bought, when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You know, this scripture really impacts me a lot because I can relate to it a lot. You know, a little background about me is that, you know, I was born in Peru. And when I was 10 years, where's my Peruvians at? You guys are not loud enough here. We need to baptize some more. We need to baptize some more Peruvians. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
Dominican.
All right. You know, I was born in Peru. My mom and dad decided to come to the States when I was 10 years old. I didn't know where I was going. You know, I follow mom and dad, right? When you're 10, you know, you got no say on this. Anyway, my mom and dad, they used to have a store in Lima, where we used to live. And they had a bodega. We had a house there. We had a car and everything. And I thought we were okay. But my mom and dad decided, you know, they felt like things were not well there. Things were not going good there. Financially, you know, just the state of the country. And you know what? They decided, you know what? We're going to sell everything. And they sold everything. And they said, you know, we're going to go to the United States. Because they felt like this was a better place for us, from myself and my sister. So that's what they did. They came to the States. Now they had applied for a visa, or you know, like to come here legally, but residence, you know, all of that, the paperwork. But they kept getting denied. They felt so desperate that they came through the U.S. And Mexico border. My dad came first, and then my mom and myself came through the border. Now, again, I don't know what I was doing. I was just following my mom, right? I'm 10 years old, remember. But while we were in Mexico, there was a, you know, we were driving in the city. I just can't remember much, but we were driving. There was a police that pulled us over, and they said they were Mexican immigration. So they grabbed us and took us to some place in Mexico. It was like a house. And in that house, my mom told me that, I was telling me how they were keeping us there. And it basically was just a house. So I learned later that those probably weren't even the police. They were just someone that just kidnapped us. And they wanted money. You know, they wanted hundreds of dollars, you know, from my mom and I, in order for them to release us. So we were there for a few hours, and my mom said, you know, at one point, it was getting late, and my mom said, you know what, son? The door's open. When we're gonna go close to the door, and then I'm gonna tell you we're gonna run. I'm going to grab your hand. We're going to run. And I was like, okay, fine. I follow you.
Again, 10 years old.
10 years old. Thank you. So that's what my mom did. She grabbed my hand. We went to the door. The door was open. There was a bunch of people there. And she grabbed my hand, and we started running. And we're running into the city. You know, we're in the city. And she finds a payphone, and she calls somebody. Somebody came and picked us up. And anyway, we came to the States. But the reason I'm telling you story is because, you know, my mom and dad, they decided that they were going to sell everything just because they felt like there was opportunity here. There was a better place for them and for us here. You know, how much more is this kingdom of God that the scripture is talking about here? You know what I mean? Are we willing? Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to do anything for the kingdom of God?
Yes.
You know, are you willing to do anything? You know, I know a lot of us, I became a disciple back in the late 1900s. Sounds like an old time, right? The late 1900s. 96 to be exact. And back in those days, you know, what I fall in love with coming to church is that the brothers and the sisters will just call each other and sing together. You know, they will hold each other and pray together. You know, I have a background growing up of being Catholic. You know, Catholic, we don't really hold hands all the time, you know. We don't really do all that stuff, you know. So coming to church for the first time, I was just so blown away by the love that the brothers and the sisters gave me at that time. You know, it's just something I never felt. And I became a disciple at that time, and back in the 96. In that time, you know, I just got married. I was 20 years old when I became a disciple, and I got married. Yeah, 10 years later, right? You guys adding up. 10 years later, I got married. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, but I was studying. That's right, I wasn't 10. I was studying, the thing is, I was studying the Bible at that time, and the brothers were teaching me about the scriptures, right? And I learned, I said, you know what? I want to be right before God. You know, I want to do things the right way. At that time, me and my first wife, we were living together, you know? And through the scriptures, I learned that, man, that, you know, that's a sin. You know, I can't be living with my girlfriend. I'm not honoring God. You know, I'm not seeking his kingdom, you know, when I do that. And I wanted to get married. And we got married, even though she didn't want to get married. You know, but, you know, as time went on, you know, my first wife became a disciple. She didn't last long. She left God and she left the church and everything else. And soon after that, we got a divorce in 2003. And after that, I decided to leave God. And 2003, I left God. I left the church. I left the kingdom. I left everything that has to do with God. And I was in the world seeking what I desire, right? You know, I stopped repenting, right? Remember I told you, you repent, you go God's way? Well, guess what? I turned around. I went back to seeking what the world gives me. And I was in the world for 9 years. And guess what? I ended up being back in another relationship. And I went back to living with that girlfriend. And again, God called me back and said, you know what? I need to get my relationship with God back again. And I decided, you know what? This time around, I was like, I gotta make sure if she wants to be with God, then we can be together. But if she doesn't want to be with God, we gotta just end this. And that's exactly what I did. I told her, listen, I want to be with God. I want to seek God's kingdom. You know, I want to be obedient to God's scripture. And us living together, you know, being immoral, that's not what I want to do anymore. I want to put God first, you know, and she didn't want that. She said, no, that's for you, you know, that's not for me. Well, guess what? That relationship ended, and I became part of God's kingdom again in 2012. And yeah, yes, you can clap for that. Soon after that, you know, I met my wife, you know, my beautiful wife. And so that's just a little bit of me. And I want to read another scripture for you guys.
Amen, bro.
We're going to read Romans 14, verse 17. I believe that's the scripture. It's the one that says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating. Is that the one?
Yeah,
okay. So for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. It's a peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think Dave Mitchell spoke about joy last week, right? He spoke a lot about joy. You know, and that's what I love about the kingdom. The kingdom is not about eating and drinking or what we're doing exactly, but it's about righteousness. It's about peace. And that's what I was talking about, is the righteousness that I'm talking about is what I was fighting to be, right? I was fighting to live a life that was righteous before God. You know, I cannot be part of God's kingdom if I'm not living my life righteous, right?
Amen.
And that's what the kingdom of God offers. It offers peace. And, you know, what is the opposite of peace?
Chaos.
What is it?
Chaos,
right? It's trouble, chaos, problems, right? When we're not with God, isn't chaos in your life, right? I mean, there's chaos with God too, but there's a lot of chaos coming before you decide to bring, you know, your life to God. You bring a lot of chaos. I know my wife, my life was totally chaos when I wasn't with God, you know? But that's what the kingdom of God talks about, is it's about righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's about peace. Mm-hmm. It's about joy. Amen?
Amen.
You know, what I love about being righteous, it's about, you know, living a life that is pure before God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from an impure background, right? Coming from sleeping and being with women, with my ex-girlfriend and living together. You know, all I knew in the world is how to live impure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So coming into the kingdom, right? Now I decide to be part of God's kingdom, right? And living for God, you know, having a relationship with my wife and starting this new relationship, right? I had to learn how to be pure with her. You know, and we set up boundaries. You know, this is for everyone, but especially the single brothers, right?
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I started dating, you know, we created boundaries. That was mainly my wife. She has more years as a disciple. You know, she's the one that suggested it. It wasn't really me. Yeah, give it up for my wife. Thank you, God. You know, my wife is the one that helped me, you know, say, hey, honey, you think we should create boundaries in our relationship? And I was like, amen, I want to do that. I don't know how to do that, right? You come from the world, right? And in God's kingdom, we got to do things differently. We got to do it righteously, right? Pure. That's the way God wants us. And we created those boundaries. You know, the only thing we did physically was holding hands. I said, okay, I'm comfortable holding hands. You know, how about, you know, when I used to drop her off, we made sure we didn't linger in the car in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, that's a no-no.
Keep it real.
Keep it, you know what I'm saying? I'm letting you guys know what we did. We kept boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
No lingering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no kissing. I didn't kiss my wife until Russ Murdoch married us almost 8 years ago, you know. And for me, that was big because I was coming out of the world, right? This impure relationships all my life, And now I'm coming into God's kingdom. Yeah. And he's calling me out to live a life of righteousness.
Yeah.
A life that is pure.
Yeah.
And I no longer wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I wanted to serve God. I wanted to live for God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to give you another scripture here. You guys okay with that? Okay. Luke 17:20-21, it says, once, or being asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. No, will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. You know, I kept reading this scripture over and over. What is it talking about, miss? So different translation talks about it's within you.
Yeah.
It's inside of you. The kingdom of God, I know when I study, we learn sometimes, some of us, I thought that the kingdom was the church.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I learned that the kingdom is not the church.
Yeah.
Okay? The kingdom here, it says that it's where? It's within you, right? It's inside of you. You know, so when we decide to make Jesus Lord, right? We say Jesus is Lord, which means Jesus is my King.
Yeah.
He's the one that controls my life, right? When we decide that, man, I'm gonna be obedient to the scriptures. I'm gonna follow the scriptures. That means that, and we're living out the scriptures, right?
Yeah.
That's where the kingdom resides.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. I'm about to shut this down here. I'm going to give you one last scripture. I want to encourage you guys with this. Okay? I have plenty more scriptures. I'm just going to keep it light on today. All right? See, my thing just went out. So, okay. Here we go. Hebrews 4:14-16. We're talking about Jesus here being our king. And it says here, therefore, since we have a high priest, Jesus, right? Who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way.
Amen.
Just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, God set it out where when we are in need, when we need help, or when we are tempted with sin, God is saying, just come to me. You know, I'm a king that you can approach the throne. Right? And when you come to me, he says, I'm going to show grace. I'm going to give you mercy. Right? I'm not going to punish you. You know, I always had this feeling that every time I give into sin, it's going to be like a thunder lightning, you know, hitting me, right? It's like something bad is going to happen. You know, that's the way I grew up. You know, I grew up where, you know, you do something wrong, you get punished. Right? But here, thank God, God's kingdom is about grace.
Amen.
It's about mercy.
Amen.
It's about righteousness.
Amen.
It's about peace and love. Amen?
Amen?
So I want to leave you with this couple of questions, brothers and sisters.
Come on, bro.
You know, as a citizen of God's kingdom, how are you doing obeying the king, the king's laws? How are you doing obeying the king's laws? If you decided and said, Jesus is Lord, which it means Jesus is my king. He directs my life. He's the one that takes care of me. You know, how are you doing with that?
Yeah.
And if you're not, if you feel like you're not in God's kingdom, my question to you is, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why you don't want God's grace, you know, mercy? You know, he offers us so much. You know what I mean? So with that, brothers, I wanted us to think about the cross. Mm-hmm. You know how I was talking about how my mom sacrificed, my mom and dad sacrificed everything to come to this country. Mm-hmm. Everything. They sold everything to come here. Mm-hmm. You know, God sacrificed his son for you and I to be part of this precious kingdom that the Bible is talking about.
Yeah.
God sacrificed his son and the cross for you, for me.
Amen.
Amen. He gave up everything so that you and I can have a relationship with God. So you and I could be part of this kingdom that we read about this morning.
Amen.
Amen.